Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 106, Episode 4 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries, as in the Coke Brothers, and fuck Fox News.
Fuck you.
It's Thursday, October 31st, 2019. Happy Halloween. Ooh. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. We Ain't Going Nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now, because we're Jack O'Brien, courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Moving to another country if they don't do this impeachment. Moving to another country if they don't do this impeachment. Moving to another country if they don't do this impeachment.
Time to impeach this man. He should be put into a can in Guantanamo Town. And if I had my little way, he'd have been impeached on the first day in an orange jumpsuit, his face the same shade.
And we'll leave it there. President of the United States of America. Ironic, too. Uh-huh. And that is from Jameson Bruce. Hi, Jameson Bruce. Thank you for that, a.k.a.
The Bombless, double a.k.a. Because I guess they were broken? Or maybe he just didn't think we deserved it, Miles?
I'm not going to speculate, but the mixing room smells like alcohol.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's...
He says it's screen cleaner that he spilled?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know when screen cleaner smells like Ciroc Berry.
Now he's just accidentally hitting buttons. He just hit the conspiracy one.
Wow.
The guy is wasted.
Oh, boy.
Have you ever threatened to leave the country based on the outcome of an election before?
I think I did... during Bush, when that sentiment first came up, when it was like, man, I'm going to fucking Canada.
I've already been shown, like, that I've already...
You're not about that life?
...outed myself that I was like, I'm moving.
I'll move to fucking Canada,
I did
though.
Not move.
I'll move no matter what to Canada, because I just love British Columbia.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. You know Montreal, hell of a town. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmoor, and he looks suspiciously like a dog eating spaghetti today. He is Mr. Billy Wayne Davis.
I just look happy. You just described happiness.
Yeah, you're eating fruit by the foot.
In like, the most aggressive way I've ever seen.
The whole thing.
I thought we only had a certain amount of time while you were doing the break, so I just started eating it, and then it just kept... You know, there's a couple feet of it.
You should know, man. It's 3 long feet of fruity fun foot, too.
It just kept going.
Is it 3? I thought it was a foot.
That shit used to be 3 feet
That
long.
Was worn. It's bigger than a foot.
Yeah.
That shit 3 feet.
Was it 3?
When it came out, I remember the jingle was something like 3 long feet of fruity fun, too.
I bet they could get away with a foot. Just say,
well, that's not fun, man. You want like your mom to have a panic attack when she sees you eating like a never-ending tape of sugar?
Yeah.
The way you were eating though, watching you, you were slinging the end of the fucking fruit by the foot around like David fighting Goliath or some shit.
Yeah.
I was literally thinking like, I'm glad this stuff's making a comeback.
But then,
you're like, it's just sugar, and you're like, damn it, it is. Like, I don't know why in my head. I was like, no, it's good for you.
It's fruit by the foot.
You've got fruit.
You've got your serving of fruit for the day. I think we can.
Yeah,
we can
mark that
check that box
off your food pyramid.
But you just the way you were doing. Have you ever seen a dog eat spaghetti or try to eat spaghetti?
I don't. Probably
is that
it's worth watching.
Is that like an activity people engage in?
It's
you're like,
just
hey, man, you want to go down and watch some dogs eat spaghetti?
No, it's just a social media
video. The South
video.
Is different.
I did see an interesting thing where people were putting dried spaghetti things through cut up hot dog and then cooking the pasta all together so then your noodles are already pierced through these hot dog bites. It looked like hell on earth, but delicious hell
that's
on earth.
That's so like...
Hot dogs and spaghetti, those already, you know, that's a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
But, hey, do you.
That's what one happened? That...
We ran out of Spam.
Right. That's one that
shit,
even
spam-getti?
When I was like 5, I was like, really?
Hot dogs?
Hot dogs and your spaghetti sauce?
Well, hey, look. You
well,
know,
I'm going to Cincinnati next month, and they have spaghetti over chili.
Chili over spaghetti.
Three-way? Four-way?
I know, and people are going to get mad I say this, but, and I should wait till after I go there, but I just... I don't like it.
Don't care for it.
I don't.
Do you like the conies? That way you just get the chili dog?
No, it's fine. I don't like messy.
Right.
Right?
So, like, a chili dog has always been like, this is disgusting.
But you've gone to, like, the Cincinnati chili spots?
Yeah, because when I first went there, you know, that's what everybody's like, oh, you gotta go to
Skyline
chili,
or Gold Star.
Or whatever. Yeah, either one.
I get regularly bashed for liking Gold Star.
Like, this is spaghetti.
Right.
Why is spaghetti in this chili? And you're like, isn't it good? And you're like, no.
Oh, I like it.
You don't like a bolognese?
It doesn't go.
Sorry, that was offensive.
Raised. I probably was.
Well, what's interesting, actually, Jack, is the bolognese, which comes from the town of Bologna.
This on myself.
It doesn't actually, it's not a red sauce.
I can't complain.
It's like a gravy.
It is a gravy.
I'm going to let this be the whole show because I brought this on myself.
That's why you travel, so you can be a dick.
That's right.
So I can say, a Bolognese, yes. Yo, Bologna's lit. That town is like San Francisco.
Damn it.
Yeah.
No, they have like ACAB thrown up on the walls and shit. I was like, oh, they're out here.
Do they throw it on there? That's awesome.
I was like,
that's
the funniest. And people were telling me like it's like a university town, very liberal. I was like, shit.
Very cool, very cool. All right, Billy Wayne, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First we're gonna talk about a couple of the stories we're covering today. The New York Times is reporting that, whoopsie, we underestimated how much of the map is going to be underwater during high tides by about 100 million people.
Holy shit.
So
that's not that many. Grand scale.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
100 million's a lot.
It's not math
like,
we're talking about.
Well, what one thing that... all of South Vietnam will no longer exist at high tide, or it will be, you know, a bunch of trees in ocean water.
There's one lost general from the Vietnam War who just got this message. He's like, we did it.
Nice. But yeah, so we're going to talk about that. And what was behind that mistake is a very simple mistake. Forgot to carry the one on a couple things. We are going to check in with the whistleblower scandal because back to basics. Remember that transcript?
Yeah.
that quote unquote transcript.
Yeah.
Turns out there was a reason that we kept being warned and warning that it wasn't a transcript. It was a memo. Turns out that was not a complete encapsulation, a complete description.
No way.
Yeah. And some important texture was left out. So we're gonna talk about what that is. We're going to talk about Pelosi releasing the rules for impeachment. We're going to talk about Netflix's...
You don't talk about impeachment.
Right.
Rule number one. I just broke it.
Yeah.
Damn it. You're out.
We're going to talk about Netflix's latest feature, which made me think about a BuzzFeed article that's pretty good about how 2010 broke time. So we're going to talk about that, just all the ways that our the zeitgeist is being mediated by our phones and our media, all of that and plenty more. But first, Billy Wayne, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I'm still trying to fix that battery from my Ford Escape. I got two of them in my house right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so you have... Last time you were looking for it, trying to identify the battery.
Yeah.
You got the battery now.
Yeah, new battery.
And now you got to install it?
But now, yeah. Well, no, installing it was easy. But what happens is if they sit for too long, then they got to get... They get below a certain percentage.
Get them charged up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now I have to get them charged up, and I'm looking at the right places around town that'll just help you out. And then other people are just like, no, we can make a ton of money off this.
Okay. Wait, so what do you need to charge the battery?
I have to figure that out exactly. Once I figure that out exactly. But right now, I've got a scanner coming. I get it this afternoon where I'm going to put it and it's going to tell me exactly what's wrong with it. Because it could be a fan issue inside the battery. And if that's what it is, it's a pretty easy fix.
Okay, well, Automotive Zeit Gang, if you know the hacks to charge a battery without getting fucking...
It's there, and they've already sent it to me. I just have to do the
steps. Oh, shit.
Yes, no, it's
You've already been blessed with the knowledge.
The longest process of this was finding the battery.
Right.
Because it was just like, it was just the needle in a haystack, because other people that do this for a living are finding them quick.
Quick, right.
And then fixing them.
Got it.
So I got this one out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
There you go.
And then they shipped it here.
Well, blessings to you on your battery journey.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's been a fun, my wife is about tired of it.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, I think that, I think baseball is underrated.
Okay.
So, I don't know, game seven was last night?
Yeah, game seven was last night, was it?
Last night. And I just think there were two teams that weren't necessarily, had all the money and all that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, and there's always a couple of those teams in baseball because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a slower, smarter game than people give it credit for. And then when people watch it, they're always like, this is like fun. And you're like, yeah.
It's great background noise.
Most of the summer and the spring, that's what I put on when I'm working.
Yeah. I can only watch postseason. Like, I can only watch postseason baseball.
I understand. Yeah. I'm a baseball fan, but I do think when people are like, it's boring, I'm like, it's not.
It's not boring. Once you, that's for me, like, I get, like, when the stakes are high, that's when I really
go. I'm the same way with soccer.
This is what I love about it. Yeah, yeah.
Or football, whatever. Yeah. I'm sure I've offended half the fucking world, but. Mm-hmm. But I am that way, too. Like, when they're like, this means a lot. I'm like, okay, I'll sit here for 9 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, like, when you start getting more interested in, like pitch counts and things like that and knowing, like, you know, like, I don't know how much this guy's got left in him.
Yes.
And you start really understanding sort of the tactically what's happening. Then I was able to appreciate baseball a little bit even more.
There's just like a chess. It's chess all the time. It's fascinating. Mm. But it looks slow. It's very fun.
Chess with
guys. And fat people can be really good at it, so that makes it fun, too.
Yeah, that is great.
The great American sport.
Babe Ruth. Yeah.
John Kruk. There's fat guys playing right now. They're like, how are you? If they walked into this room, then they're like, I'm a professional athlete, you'd be like, bullshit.
David Wells pitched a perfect game. While drunk.
While drunk.
Still drunk from the
fully
previous
drunk?
Night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's a good time.
Yeah.
I think he still is.
All right. You know, we were so close to that riddle. There's a man running home with a mask on. Or there's a man running home and somebody's waiting for him with a mask on Halloween night.
Oh, wow.
What's happening?
Game 7.
Game 7 of the World Series.
Game 7.
Ah, so close. One day off. What is something you think is overrated, Billy?
I think
consumption is overrated. Mm. Just the act of consuming, to consume, is overrated.
Like consuming consumer goods?
Just everything. The way humans consume things, I think, is overrated. I think that people put it, like, they've gamified it to a weird, like, the more I consume, the better I'm. It's like they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game, you know?
That's what they've set up for us.
Yeah, right. That's the, like, work your money that we'll give to you that you'll give right back
right
to
back
us.
Right back to us. Because, it's this weird.
And if you're not doing it, then something's wrong.
Yeah. That's right. The thing. Like, why are you chilling out? And you're like, because I got all the stuff.
Right.
Right.
I think that's the battle I'm having.
Yeah. You're like, this is enough. This is good.
I got two Ford Escape batteries. What else I need?
I think I do have that. Every time I walk through my driveway, I'm like, dun 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 dun. I'm like, I gotta fix this. But it's that, I think that's it. Like, I have several jackets that are guaranteed for my whole life.
That you know will go the distance.
Yeah, but I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I need one.
Right.
So I think, like, looking at all that and then, like, seeing, like, how much money we waste every year is just like, this system seems overrated.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's, I think, the realization many people have over the years at a certain point. You're like, what is it? Have I been conditioned to do this?
Yeah.
Like, was it all those commercials as a kid?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I don't know. I went camping recently. I think that was nice, too.
Yeah.
Just, like, kind of stopped.
Get away from all this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I like this.
And most of the world is away from all the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have to look to be encased in the shit like we are on a day-to-day basis.
Encased in the shit.
Yeah. You could just go in any direction and find a place that's far, far away. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That moving the rideshare pickup away from LAX would help improve traffic.
Yeah.
That was a myth that people believed to be true that I was like, you guys are lying.
Yeah.
And I was proved right.
That the videos of that waiting lot were horrifying.
As someone that flies a lot, I watched like 2 seconds of that video and I turned it off. Yeah. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
You just ruined my life.
I mean, one thing, I guess it'll be good because it seems like the taxi line will just be the fastest one because taxis can now just line up and you can hop in a taxi. That might help
you
the
don't
taxis.
Need to be like, is this,
but really,
are you Greg?
But it might actually help people to ride in some less cars because you could, the flyaway is a cheap ass option too. That's like fucking $8.
Well, that's why I'm mad that you just said that because that's already what I decided to do. And I was like, I'm just not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to take the $8 thing to Union Station.
And then pop an Uber from there. A lot cheaper.
Where does it take you?
Well, there's a few different places. It could take you to Union Station. It could take you to Van Nuys. You know, they have like spots
places
all over the city.
Places with good parking. That aren't a complete disaster.
But my God, to see the whole thing was on a Tuesday that they're saying that's one of the lightest traffic days for LAX, and it looked like it looked like those scenes in like a apocalypse film where like everyone's like everyone must evacuate Los Angeles, and it was like everybody was suitcases in this very tiny lot.
Well, what did it? That's what cracked me up about it. It was like, look how clear LAX is. And you're like, but
look over here.
What you did was just move all that mess over there.
Right.
That's a thing that I feel like we've been to an airport where they were doing this, that it kind of worked. But for the most part, every time I've been at a lot that was specifically designed for rideshare like apps,
right,
it's a fucking mess, man.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Well, and now, Springfield, Missouri, it worked really well.
Yeah, fantastic. Exactly.
Because we could see our lift coming from about 2 miles away.
Right.
Yeah.
And we were in that special parking lot.
Are you the red one or the white one?
And then Larry's like, Billy? And I was like, Larry. And he's like, I'm one of two lift drivers.
Well, when
like,
you
this works good.
When you think of how LAX was designed, that was for the LA of motherfucking 50 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now this shit is a whole different game and we have the same fucking infrastructure. That's why LAX is one of the worst fucking airports in a city. Not even close to, where's the fucking train? Not even fucking train near there.
Well, you learn real quick, like when you get there, you're like, oh, okay. And then you get to LAX very fast. Yeah. So you're like, oh, we made good time. And
right.
And you're like, nope. No, you didn't. Now we're still 45 minutes to do
a mile. Might want to walk.
And then there's always that part where if you're stuck underneath in that tunnel and it's moving slow, if you're at all claustrophobic, you're like, this is the worst thing.
Well, the only thing that's funny, because it seems like a scheme to get people to pay for the Uber Black or the Uber SUV, because those are the only ones now that can pick you up.
That can pick you up.
Or it is the return of phone a friend and be like, hey, bro, I'll smoke you out if you pick me up. Buy you a beer. Buy you a pizza.
That's cheaper.
Yeah, it is.
There's a MedMen over there next to an In-N-Out. That's gonna be like the new, like, it is packed.
The old 1-2 punch.
Day, you're like, yeah, well, that's the new price of that's the new rideshare price.
Exactly. Zygang, let us know if your local airport has figured out how to deal with rideshare shit.
Yeah, to have actual public transportation here. Yeah, how about that too?
Yeah, that's also useful. All right, guys, let's talk about this New York Times article where they basically corrected a bunch of projected maps for the year 2050 based on, you know, climate change,
sea level rise,
temperature rise, sea level rise. And so they were way off, because what they were doing, and this seems like the sort of thing that scientists, I'm trusting science a lot when I'm putting, you know, the future in their hands and being like, well, you guys got this. You know what we need to do based on global warming. But so they were mistaking the actual, like, where the ground was for where the tops of buildings and the tops of trees were.
So they were saying,
using satellites,
they were assuming that sea level was the tops of trees.
No, that ground level. So,
or ground level was the tops of trees.
The tops of trees and the tops of buildings.
And so they're like, oh, we got a minute.
Right.
Because it has to get to this height.
Yes. And then somebody was like, wait a minute.
Yes.
And then they brought it to their boss, and their boss was like, oh, damn it.
So
bought property there.
They completely fucking miscalculated where the ground was.
Standard elevation measurements using satellites struggle to differentiate the true ground level from tops of trees or buildings. That was the mistake, and it's the difference between, you know, having some flooding in Vietnam at high tide to most of South Vietnam disappearing at high tide.
Holy
huge
shit.
Difference. Huge. So,
slight
huge difference.
The projections of the number of people that were displaced has gone from
100
what?
Million. I don't know what it was.
I've been saying this to my 10-year-old. You've got to check your work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's more important than finishing first.
So, they were off by 100 million. The new research shows that 150 million people are now living on land that will be below the high tide line by mid-century.
That's in fucking 30 years.
Yes, that's not that long.
Yeah. We'll be alive.
Like, you need to fucking begin planning for that now.
This long.
You need to quit telling people stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That long
warning
ago.
Warning them about stuff like the bus and now this. We got to quit telling them.
Right. And we just moved to a mountaintop together and take the bus there.
From LAX.
Yes.
It's $8.
It's wild, though, just how, I wonder how that mistake happens. Is that because of the way these satellites are programmed that, like, at a certain point, you think, wouldn't there just be better to have people on the fucking ground taking those measurements? Or because it's such a, like a wild, like a such a broad analysis of the entire globe, you have to use satellite imagery?
I mean, I more wonder how the fuck they get even close in the first place, because I don't know how science works. But you're right. You're right. It's just, it seems like they need to be, looking at whatever the lowest point is.
And, right, because that's just
to averaging out.
To think just right now, right, that if those calculations are corrected, 150 million people will be displaced in 30 years.
Right.
Like, that's a fucking
we
alarm.
We got to get started on the walls.
Right.
Got to get started on
yeah,
the walls.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how do we keep
that actually is, they said that, you know, this can be combated with, you know, levees like in New Orleans. You know, the entire city of New Orleans is below sea level. But it's...
I think Billy meant walls to keep displaced people out.
Oh.
Sure.
Oh. Is that what you meant?
I just like building walls.
That's what I thought.
Like, I build them around my heart.
Well, that just seems like what the... that would be the solution in a 30-year chaotic world where they're like,
I was just making a joke out of like how dumb people are. I got to protect myself.
Right.
We got to protect our stuff with the wall. And you're like, I don't think that's going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, what's, man, it's like, wild how these calculations.
I bet they'll float up to the top of the wall where the water is and just
jump over. There you go.
That's because there's no ground on the other side of your wall.
I paid $60 for your DVDs, man.
Thank you.
I like your teachings. Yeah, it reminds me of like that Mars orbiter, like atmospheric orbiter thing that crashed in the like 99 because they didn't convert English units to metric.
Because
or vice
it's
versa.
Still dudes
it's still humans, yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
And by dudes, I mean humans. It's still people
and
doing
it. Probably disproportionately men, to be honest.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. But I think it's also like, it's Michael Crichton was kind of talking about this before he died, about how because a lot of this, not necessarily this, but sort of this idea that because a lot of scientists, that English is becoming the sort of dominant language that's being used in the sciences, that it forces a lot of people to learn English and begin thinking in English. And the way – when you speak different languages, you arrive at certain ideas differently based on like linguistic characteristics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if everyone is using English, then people will – there won't be enough varied ways of problem solving that people are all going to see the same solution, and it could be totally a terrible error based on this like lack of diversity and like – how we're even analyzing things. So
there's even a theory that because of there are languages that have basically no future tense, or their future tense is more connected to their present tense.
Right.
And those languages are generally better at preparing for the future. Like they smoke less, they save more money than cultures that speak English, because the way we describe the future is as though it is a fictional location.
Right.
That will
never arrive.
Right, that will never arrive.
Hey, you die tomorrow, man.
Right, yeah, exactly. But that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today we need to fuck each other.
That's right.
Remember, yesterday you said tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Great motivating quote.
Hell yeah.
Free beer tomorrow.
Is that who was that? Was that Buddha or Dave Matthews Band?
I saw that on Daniel Van Kirk's phone, actually.
Oh,
his
really?
Lock screen. Yeah, and I was like, oh, interesting. He said, you said tomorrow yesterday. Huh.
Sick.
Motivational.
That is motivational. But Billy, if you wouldn't mind taking a breather, I want to tell my friend Miles here about my favorite suitcase.
Right now?
Miles, that's me, Jack, from work.
Mm-hmm. Should have been ready for that.
Yes. And my favorite suitcase is made by a company named Away. And they make an amazing suitcase designed to last a lifetime. They give you a 100-day trial on everything they make. So, I mean, I'm telling you, man, you got to try this company.
This is going to be very awkward. You're not telling me anything I don't know already. I am well aware of the Away brand, the strength of their suitcases, the ease of use for their products, the four independent wheels that move in 360-degree motion, so you can really get free.
Do you know about the battery?
Yes, I know about the battery. That's like the best part of the bag. Actually, that is actually my favorite part of the carry-on bag that we have, is that it has the USB charger, so in a pinch, you can keep your peripheral devices charged and ready to go, because most planes nowadays, like they're like, we're not going to invest in screens in the seats, so I hope you brought your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Or your iPhone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And guys, for $20 off a suitcase, you can visit awaytravel.com/TDZ and use promo code TDZ during checkout. That is awaytravel.com/TDZ. Use promo code TDZ during checkout. You'll get $20 off a suitcase. It's going to be your favorite suitcase. It's amazing. They're carry-on. They're larger carry-on. They're great products. Go check it out. And we are back. Speaking of travel, Miles, let's travel to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and the whistleblower scandal. We're taking it back to the basics because...
Back to basics, great album.
Yes.
Christina Aguilera.
Because we got some testimony a couple days ago that suggests that what we... came to think of as a transcript. It was like we reflexively wanted to describe it as a transcript because that's how it was written. It was like Trump. And
I think it was because it was presented
as such. Yes.
As a transcript. That's why everybody was like, oh, this is a transcript.
And certain things were transcribed in the technical sense.
Right.
But is it a full on transcription?
Turns out no.
No.
What?
So, yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, during his testimony, basically let them know that there were, as he says, crucial words and phrases that were omitted from the White House document that the public saw. And people were like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, we figured that. Right. Because there were so, and a lot of the reporting was like, this is probably like 8 minutes worth of conversation missing throughout this whole thing. And now we found out that.
We just didn't talk for a little bit.
Right.
You know how you're like comfortable with somebody and you just sit there?
Yeah.
Right. That's what just we did.
Like, we were both watching the same show and we're watching for a second. And then we're like, damn, you see that?
Yeah. We're like, can you believe that?
Oh, actually, but first, investigate Joe Biden, homie.
I would imagine that Trump, while on like important calls with foreign leaders, would be like distracted by the TV.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Laugh and be like, sorry, I was watching something.
Or just like, turn it to Fox. Channel 11.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like, the same channel.
We don't
for
have
me.
The same channels here.
11 doesn't exist.
Come on, just turn it to Channel
11. You should. Channel 11.
I have BS too.
Well, you're missing out because Channel 11's amazing.
Well, so the things that we're missing, right, included the president's assertion that there were recordings of Joe Biden discussing Ukrainian corruption and an explicit mention by President Zelensky of Ukraine of Burisma Holdings, which is the energy company that Hunter Biden served on.
So it was a perfect call.
Perfect call. Very perfect. But apparently they're saying that there are recordings of him saying that he was saying that that prosecutor who was like dropped the case should be let go because they're saying this dude isn't doing enough.
Right.
But as we already know, that timeline doesn't match up in terms of like what Burisma was being investigated for and the timeline of Biden asking this person to step down. It was legitimately because this guy wouldn't hold anyone accountable.
Right.
It wasn't like, hey, he should go because don't make it hot for my hunty boy.
Right. And, you know, another point that Vindman was making was that if Ukraine engaged in this like very highly partisan investigation, then they would no longer be seen as like an ally by both parties,
right?
Which is a threat to national security.
Yeah, and they're saying now they're kind of worried.
It's a threat to the security of our nation.
could
what
have
was that last part?
People seems killed.
People are already, you know, dying in Ukraine,
right?
Fighting the forces that are backed by Russia.
But
we'll just call him Russia.
It is kind of funny to think, the White House released the memo, the fake transcript, and then we're like, it's a perfect call. So they cut the stuff that they thought was bad only to find out that like they just hadn't even gone deep enough with their cuts, essentially.
Yeah. I wonder if they tried to do the thing where they're like, leave enough stinky shit that we can weather so we don't take a full-blown L of trying to hide it, or they're just that dumb.
Yes.
I don't know, but that's
that was a miscalculation.
I'd say number two.
Yeah.
I say dumb dumps.
Yes.
Right, because it's sort of like when you, like, if you ever, like, copy and pasted shit for an essay,
right,
and you're like, let me change, like, a couple words.
So, right.
Like, it feels like it's me, but really, look, if they really pressed me, yeah, it is what it is.
I can tell you how to do that right now if college students are listening. What you do, you find the sources of the paper you're cut and pasting. You cut and paste those sources so you know where they come from.
Right.
You also change the transitions from paragraph to paragraph. You have to write those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's where your voice is.
Right. And the other ones,
all you're doing is and you're not even really cheating at that point. You're just taking research from somebody else.
Right. See, and I got this all these from your DVDs that I bought.
I'm just telling you, I knew how to do
low,
it.
Low price.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you know,
$60, five easy payments of $60.
Yep. Yeah. And you get two DVDs.
You get the DVD system.
And when you die, you go to heaven.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that motherfucker
ran
for
free. yeah, I don't, it doesn't change much in terms of like what we understand, what happened on the call, but it does give a lot of new texture to this now, because it's clear that this person, he twice tried to have them like edit what they were going to release publicly. He's like, this is misleading.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, thanks for that, Vindman.
Right.
And then they put out this shit and he's like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Yeah.
He's like, hold up. Oh, no. That's what he's, it was just no.
That's something I'm seeing from people who are reporting on this whole, the whole progression of the impeachment inquiry is that like, now it really seems like there's not going to be any room for Republicans to argue the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to be them arguing. They're going to have to start arguing that it's not bad enough to remove him.
Well, that's the thing. It was the whole idea of like, there actually technically wasn't any quid pro quo because the aide was released and they didn't do the investigation.
Right.
The whole idea like, well, it's attempted murder.
Right.
It was an attempt.
Didn't Listen, happen. We couldn't. You stopped us before we got to murder that guy.
So right. What's the problem?
So you what?
Yeah.
Which is the shittiest defense.
Well, it's not a good spot to be in.
It's but just, it is, ugh. I mean, how we've always worked, right? That's why Nixon got away with Watergate, because mm-hmm. Watergate wasn't a successful robbery.
Right.
And why we let Hinckley go, because Reagan didn't die.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, that's just, we just let people go if the explicit intended target of their
They start going like, well,
crime.
They start arguing like, well, OJ did that shit,
right.
And they acquitted him, right. So what's real anymore?
Yes, exactly.
That is the world they're living in, though. What right. is real, I think.
Yo.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's people who probably are such, like, lizard reptile brained that they just need to do what, like, has to be done, that they don't consider it. And then I think the people who have half a soul left are kind of being like, what is my reality?
I thought we were playing a game.
Right. Right,
yeah, right. I did just think there is some people in there that are like, this is... Some know. People are going to get hurt.
Yeah,
right. This is just the thing we did.
I just wanted to be like, you know, get some free corn on the cob at my state fair. And
but yeah, I think
more than I thought.
The thought I come to a lot is like those guys that are playing power and like Donald Jr.
Right.
Like someone like that, like who's just saying shit because of whatever. What does he think? Like, is his life getting better because of this, or is his life worse?
I would imagine, so we were talking yesterday about how narcissists are actually happy because they're incapable of feeling shame. I would imagine for somebody like him whose life is controlled by a narcissist,
yeah,
that his life is completely miserable because he is compelled to like seek the affection of somebody who's incapable of like loving
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Or have any empathy. Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like being addicted to something. It's his life is just a nonstop quest for,
he's chasing the dragon of a father's hug.
Right. That is ne-
that
he's never going to get
candy on top of
a
men.
Fucking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think someone put a tweet, yeah. a tweet that yeah. is like, that is the mark of someone who has not interacted with their children. Like,
oh God. No.
I'm like, yeah, just put this Hershey bar on your dome. And
right.
You
Move
absorb
along.
It. You absorb yeah. it through your head.
For people
head,
who
right?
don't know, at the White House Halloween thing, they were giving out candy, and there's a little kid in a Minions
he
costume.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
Who?
Melania was giving out candy.
Well,
Yeah. Melania, well, he was whatever. There, too. I mean, he did something. He was there to be like,
He stood there.
Nice
and then when
garbage
it was
can
his
costume.
Turn to give somebody candy,
yeah.
he puts it on top of this.
The Minion head.
Who's also holding.
Had a bag.
Yes, in front of him.
For the fucking kid.
In front of him, like, here's where the candy goes and where all the other candy is.
Right.
He's like, well, this goes on your head, right?
What are you, a yellow mushroom wearing overalls?
And like a decent first lady, she does do it too.
Yeah,
she
did
it too. Like, okay, you fucking
idiot.
And
then it slides off, and they were like, okay, fine.
Right.
I think she did it just because she's like,
I really feel like
she's so embarrassing all the time.
My respect for how much she is just holding this together by the seams is growing. I think that.
I mean, unless she's got the same brain too.
Yeah, maybe she does.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. She understands decorum.
Cut me saying anything remotely positive about her.
It's hard to.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like he's so terrible. You cheer for another awful person.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the situation.
It's like watching Succession. You know, which one of the shitty people do you like?
Right. Oh, Roman.
He's charming.
Yeah.
He's charming. God, I would probably beat him the fuck up if I saw him in public, but.
Nah, he wouldn't. He's charming.
I don't
like,
know.
Hey, Miles, what's it?
No, but if he started like doing all that ignorant shit around me, that's when I'll get like my skin crawls. But I understand like that's a very real kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like charming but fucking ignorant and heartless.
Yes. Well, speaking of people existing in separate realities and streaming media, which is how I'm watching Succession.
Wow. Thank you, sir.
Let's talk about Netflix. They have decided to test a feature that will allow you to speed up the video you are watching to like 1.25 to 1.5
or slower
if you're really busy.
If you need that shit in half speed,
which,
or three quarter speed.
What are you doing?
Well, they say a lot of people, so it's on mobile only, and they say a lot of people have been asking for this feature. Not me. But who? They say it could be for people, like, if it's in a foreign language, that could help you, like, learn. Like, if you're trying to learn off watching some
shit. Okay, slow down, fine. Like, that's for people who
need it. I don't mind slow down. Speed up is where it gets weird. It's completely betraying the intent of, like, the art of, like, what you're watching.
We're telling the story in a certain way.
Yeah, and with a certain rhythm, too, of how these things are laid out, the dialogue, everything like that. I get it with audiobooks, I get it with podcasts.
Right.
You're just using your ears. So, sure, if you can absorb all that information like that. But I don't know. Because this shit, what we do, this ain't art.
Right. Know? Also, if you need it that fast because your brain's processing whatever, you can also figure out how to do that if you're that fucking smart. Do it yourself.
Right.
Why do you need Netflix to do it if you're like, oh, I just process information so fast, I need to watch something. Like, well, then you fucking do it then, smart pants.
You're just watching people like jump around like it's an old-timey video of people, the Wright brothers trying to learn how to fly. Like, it's just, I don't understand how that's not going to get in the way of your ability to enjoy that. But apparently, Tina Fey was on a podcast, I forget. Oh, it was the Conan O'Brien podcast. And she was talking about how NBC did this shit to episodes of 30 Rock. Like, if they were like a couple seconds over, or they needed like 10 more seconds of ad time, they would just speed it up.
And oh, like 10% or whatever.
Wouldn't tell them.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it'd be just like, but like, think about how that fucks with like the rhythm.
Of the whole show, especially a show like that, is so joke heavy
and dense as fuck.
Which you need in joke, the kind of jokes they were telling are so timing based,
right?
And that's what made that show. And if you're gonna speed it up like that, I would have a panic attack. That podcast, and then as you were saying it, I just got more and more livid again. I was like, oh, I would be.
Yeah,
they'd fire me.
That's why they say
like,
they've
Billy's yelling in the hall again.
They've limited this like test to just mobile because they said a lot of creators were pushing back, like, "Do not fucking put this on TV shit." Like, fine, you're
Apatow
mobile people, but like
tweeted about it yesterday, like a big long. He's like, "This is fucking bullshit."
Yeah, and a lot of people have, and I think, you know, that makes sense because it's completely betraying what the intent is. But hey,
cash rules everything around
me,
right?
It's wild though, too. Like, VP. Like you're saying, what? Where are we headed where now we're like, bro, I need to watch this movie at 1.5 times the
speed.
I
need it in my veins now.
This isn't fast enough. Like,
right.
I'm not getting enough stimulation.
Now, like, as I was thinking through this, I was like thinking about Netflix shows I watched recently and Rhythm and Flow. I was like, it's a great reality show.
Yeah.
But like, I felt like I was like stuck watching it. It was so good, and like I couldn't tear myself away. I could see that sort of like reality TV,
like
being
speed
like
up
thing,
the
like,
high, so you can get on with your
and
life.
And like, you want to like find out what happens,
right? Right.
But that's, you know,
you can still fast forward that shit.
Yeah, you can.
But I did think of one where it's like, I would love to watch The Civil War by Ken Burns.
There you go.
Without falling asleep.
Yep.
And I think that would be the only way to do that.
Yeah.
They speed it up because his pacing is just like,
right.
Oh, he wants you to feel how long it took that
right.
war.
Yeah, he wants you to, he wants to put you in that mind space.
And then we had to
before
walk
radio.
To Chattanooga.
Right.
And that took another 4 days. You're like, I gotta go to bed.
How much is a fortnight?
It's
14 days, isn't it?
No, it's Fortnite. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was going to do 4 score and 7 years
ago. It's that
sick
ass game. It's 14
days.
It is
14 days. All right. Cool.
What if I answered? It's free. You just download it. There's some in-app purchases. That's all.
Well, all right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more ways our reality is being melted.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And so there's this BuzzFeed article that last story about Netflix sort of allowing us to speed up how we view their content. This buzz made me think of, there's this BuzzFeed article talking about how the 2010s broke time as it exists in our brain. And they're just talking about all the different things. Like, you kind of hear this all the time now, right? Like, time has melted. My brain has melted. Donald Trump has melted my brain. I feel like that happened 4 weeks ago, but it was only 2 days ago, or, you know.
Right. Whatever. Or when we were like, didn't the impeachment thing start like last week and it's been 5 weeks?
Right. And in the 20-month, so they're pointing out that all these things that change how we just interact with our world, like, came out in the in the 20 months between Hillary Clinton's campaign announcement and Trump's inauguration, everything from Apple Music to HBO Now to Apple News launched or relaunched. The Amazon Echo, Google Home, and Apple Watch hit the market. Publishers established the current form and tone of the news push alerts that you receive. Facebook launched a live streaming function and then deprioritized it when people started killing people on it. Instagram launched the Instagram stories. Twitter introduced the quote tweet option and has transitioned into a like algorithmically driven version.
Yeah, rather than like real time.
Rather than real time, you're getting
like what they want you to read.
Right. What they think you're going to enjoy and continue to read. Like, what's the most sticky thing? And this is causing
and what they want you to read.
Right.
There's also the thing you're saying, but and I cynical, but yes, I think we'd be dumb not to be cynical that they're also pushing certain things in there.
Right.
What do you mean? Like just suppressing things that, what do you mean?
I just think, like 4 or 5 months ago, I unfollowed everyone as this. Yes, exactly. and you also
told you, Anna.
And you realize, well, it's also funny, you realize who your friends are like really addicted to it because they're like, yeah, what the fuck, dude? And you're like, well, look, it wasn't just you. Yeah, dickhead. Right. But I realize like, I still have a feed. Right. And it's showing me stuff. Tweets, and I'm not following anybody.
Right.
So that's when I was like, this is, they're telling, I mean, to a certain degree, they know what I want to see and what I've liked and stuff, yeah. But I also throw it off and just like everything sometimes.
Sure.
Right.
So, but
I thought you liked my tweets, man.
I do like a lot of yours. You're
okay,
just,
thank you.
Sometimes I don't like them just because I'm like, he's getting cocky.
He's getting cocky with these one tweets a week.
What's he doing?
Enough.
Cool it.
2 weeks in a row?
That is what. So is
yeah.
It,
on a Tuesday?
Wow. Enough cold brew, my man? So is that sort of just sort of talking about the idea that because even Facebook, right, that timeline or whatever the fuck it was called before timeline, your wall or whatever, felt like a real time thing of everyone posting things, and now that
I like Twitter because I knew what my friends were up to
at that moment.
Right. Yes,
yeah, and then so now because that sort of melted away, that's just has like this knock on thing of like, when is now?
Right.
When is earlier?
Yeah.
Like when is?
Yeah, I mean the
tomorrow.
A good example they were talking about on the Press Box podcast was that Rolling Stone article that everybody was up in arms about, the list of the 50 best singer-songwriters
right.
or whatever, and everybody was like, what the fuck, Bob Dylan's number one, this is such bullshit, and people were like weighing in, and then somebody pointed out
this
that
just, like,
the article
ago.
Was from 2008
right?
That everybody was getting mad
and
about.
And he was unquestionably the best singer then.
Yeah,
it's not even an argument.
Right.
He was so good that year.
But it's like it's just like people. I don't know.
Things pop up because
things
we're
pop
like
back up.
Yeah,
we think we're interacting with things that are happening.
Well, what's that one tweet that keeps getting this shrimp fried rice?
Yeah.
It goes viral like every week. Someone writes the same tweet like. You telling me the shrimp fried this rice?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's it'll just go, a dad joke.
Yeah. And it'll go viral. I'll see it once a week, somebody else retweeting it into my feed. And it's somebody else wrote it.
Right. I think it's become a meme because of the fact that people keep writing it. And now I've heard it by like, I've heard like 30 different versions of it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did do some takes that were pretty.
There's some good ones.
Yeah. But and it's like every time they're at the end of a football game or something like a championship, I always retweet Africa's getting so many t-shirts.
Right.
Oh, right, after a sports thing.
Right.
And everyone does that joke every time.
Yeah,
but it gets retweeted a bazillion times.
I mean, yeah, like two people invented the light bulb at the same time, like in two separate cities completely independently of each other because that idea was just in the air. So that is happening constantly.
Until they
all
did that,
us.
No one knew how or when people got ideas, though.
Right, that's exactly right. And then since that time, the same light bulbs have been popping on over people's heads.
I've had a candle moment now.
I got mine when I lived in Silver Lake. We got it replaced to an Edison bulb. It's pretty cool. When I get an idea,
it's a big ass one.
How much does that procedure cost? I've been admiring that. Yeah.
Edison bulbs are everywhere. Too much.
Yeah, it's that and the vertical fence or the horizontal fence.
Or is it the gentrifier fence?
Yes. That and Edison. You're like, you know, they have Edison bulbs in that house.
The entire interior is an Edison bulb.
And the same back.
And there's a cardboard antler head or buck head made out of cardboard.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't fully appreciate how much of this had changed in the last decade. Like,
yeah, it really is something else, though, too. Like, when you realize how we used to take in media or what we thought was even social media at the time, how it went from, all this is in real time.
Yeah.
To now, like, no, could be from whenever.
Right.
And, like, how subtly that, like, affects you, too, because Instagram goes from being a thing like, yo, this is telling me what everyone's taking a photo of right now, too.
Right.
This is what's been happening the last five fucking days on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, is
that and you have, there is a version of you that exists on social media where they know so much about you that, yeah, like you were saying, Billy, you can stop following everybody. It doesn't matter. They still know what you're going to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we exist in Black Mirror more now than
or
ever
they
before.
Also know what you, this is a thing I've noticed, they know what you will respond to in a negative way. And put it in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they'll know you'll like quote tweet it and be like, you see this fucking shit right here?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like, because all they want's the interaction. So they're going to show you stuff where you're like, why am I seeing? Oh, because you want me to be mad and you know I'll react. So that's the manipulation part I'm talking about. Where they're like,
yeah. No, for sure. All right. Let's check in with what Bill Murray's been up to, Miles.
Oh, God. God bless him.
God bless Bill Murray.
This guy is everywhere.
I think he did. I think God did bless him.
God did bless him.
He's got a pretty good life.
He's got the only form of alcoholism that results in an amazing show business career.
Right.
Has helped
well,
him out.
Well, you always hear these, you know, it sort of goes along the theme of Bill Murray of like, he's always popping up at a random party.
Right.
He's popping up at this place. He's serving drinks at this bar. And now this is a thing that
he's
came out.
He's running on the field during a Cubs game. Right.
He's pinch
hitting. It's Bill Murray. Like, I think he's got a drinking problem.
So he was on Amy Schumer's podcast recently and said that he applied for a job recently. Mm. They're like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, like an actual job. And he said, quote, I did fill out an application at PF Chang's at the Atlanta airport because I think that's one of the great places. And they were like, okay. When they asked, like, what do you mean? Like, what did you apply for? He just goes, you know, just to work there. It looks like the best time. So then like the PF Chang's Twitter was like, you're hired, bro.
Yeah, fucking A.
But I don't know if it's so funny. Like when I think about Bill Murray, like he's just at that point. He's so bored that he's like kind of being like, yo, that would be kind of tight. Let me just work at PF Chang's. Is this all a stunt? Is he that lonely? Does he just want that? Like he just likes to see the surprise on people's faces when they're like, oh, my God, Bill Murray just gave me this orange chicken.
I think he does whatever he wants.
Right.
Because
right.
there's no restriction. I think that's part of, I think there is like, he's probably just a really fun drunk.
Right.
But I also think that knowing enough famous people without even, just because they're also human, they start seeing what the limitations are. That's why a lot of them get in trouble.
Right.
That's why it's impressive when some people are just normal and famous. We're like, right. I don't know what they're doing, but it's evil or something. You know, it's a spell or something.
Why are you so well-adjusted?
Yeah, but well, it's a lot of work to be that well-adjusted. But I think he started pressing, like, what are my limits? Like, I can go to all these secret rooms. I'm invited to all the Hollywood shit. I'm Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Can I walk into
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's.
Right.
Can I walk off? Can I walk over to this person's table while they're eating and grab a biscuit from their plate and eat it and put it back down?
And then say, no one will believe you.
Yes, and walk off without anybody trying to fight me.
Right.
And then no one tried to fight him.
Right.
So he just kept escalating it.
Yeah.
So eventually he's going to hit pedestrians with his car or something.
Well, probably,
like, I don't know, 5,
or at least
points,
a golf cart. At least he'll hit something with a golf cart.
Sure, sure, sure.
I think he's got enough people around him that they'll be like, you can't drive anymore.
Right.
I think he'll be like, cool, limitations, finally.
Right. just waiting until somebody says no to him.
Yeah, that's all he wants is, I just want someone to tell me no.
It would be nice that guy in charge of the PF Chang's would be like, hey, Bill, you got to put the things in.
Right.
You've got to marry the ketchup.
Like,
and he's like, God, thank you.
Yeah.
Now I don't.
This sucks.
Yes.
Hey,
before I could just do all the drugs and everyone loved me.
William, can you come back here really quick? Yeah, you're putting hoisin sauce on the wrong dishes, man.
Yeah, you're not.
The guide is there for a reason. You know, you should know how to assemble these dishes.
And he's
man.
Just like, this is the best, this is the most fun I've had in years.
This shouldn't be fun. This is P.F. Chang's, William.
I feel so
free. You're doing the job wrong if this is fun.
Yeah.
So free. There's no buns.
But he famously, like, he doesn't have representation, right? Like, he doesn't have a
it's
standard.
It's a voicemail.
Yeah, I think he has a phone number. You leave a voicemail, and then he calls. I'm sure there's
that's like the legend, but I'm sure there's like, just knowing how all of it works, there's
still
like...
But he doesn't have... There's
a lawyer or fucking somebody.
There's probably a lawyer.
Yeah.
But there has to be.
But he's typically the one who fields his own call, like... Or,
well, he decides if he wants to call
are.
Back yeah. or not. Because yeah. he listens to the voicemails where people are like, hey, we want you to play FDR and yeah. the HBO right. thing. He's like, cool, I'll do that.
We yeah. want you to play General P.F. Chang.
He was
Chang.
A drunk, yeah, I'll do that.
Right. Okay. It's how he ended up in the Garfield movie, because he thought that the Joel Cohen who wrote it was from the Coen brothers and not just a random dude. So
he really did think that?
Yeah. He explained to somebody in an interview. He was like, yeah, I really regret doing the Garfield movie. I thought the Joel Cohen was the Coen brother.
That's an alcoholic thing to do. And as someone that used to drink quite a bit, yeah. that is, I recognize what that was. Like, I thought that was something else, and then I was too far in to admit.
Yeah. Some people are just really, really good at being drunk.
And well, and then even years later, that's also a drunk thing to do, is admit it, not hold on
yeah,
to it.
Exactly.
Right. You still, like,
yeah. I would feel so much shame about that. Like, I would like, never tell anybody. I would quit my career. Mm-mm. And he just, like, goes and does a Rolling Stone interview.
The movies
like, yeah,
that dude wrote is pretty interesting. He wrote Toy Story, first of all.
Damn.
Monster Mash movie, Money Talks, if you remember, with Charlie Sheen and Chris Tucker.
Yeah,
one of the
not
greats,
a bad movie.
When he goes, your wife is fat. PHAT, pretty hot and tempting.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye Lover, Cheaper by the Dozen, both Garfield movies, Evan Almighty, Daddy Day Camp, yeah. Gnomes and Trolls, The Secret Chamber.
Damn, this dude stays working.
Then kind of stopped after The Last Godfather, which is a South Korean comedy film. Interesting, he got into South Korean film.
Sounds like he... made his money.
Yeah,
like,
it's, yeah. After I mean, it's Toy Story, I don't know how you go back to work.
Well, right. It sounds like he had a contract that he had to fill, because those are right. all big studio movies that make no sense as like an artist.
Yeah,
right. But if you're just a writer and you're like, I wrote Toy Story as my first one.
Right.
I could retire, but then I have to give him the money back.
Right.
So now I have to write Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
Right.
And Toy Story is like, animated movies don't pay writers shit. Because it's not a guild thing. Animated movies are
it is
not
now.
It is. Because it
somehow.
Wasn't in the 90s.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
No.
God so, damn, motherfucker wrote Toy Story, and he's like, am I seeing... it was a buyout.
Yeah, we talked about how the writers of The Lion King didn't get shit
oh, right.
for that
yeah.
movie being like a multi-billion dollar success.
That's
they didn't
right.
get
That's
anything
right.
for that. Aladdin, they didn't get shit for that.
Well, at least they don't. There's not reminders of it everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
right,
you know,
right.
who can remember those films anyway?
Jesus
right.
Christ.
All right. We wanted to bring in super producer... Anna Hosnier for a book report, a book she's been reading over the course of a number of weeks. And
so Calvin and Hobbes.
It is. It's actually a Far Side collection, a collection of those Far Side.
Love Bill Larson.
No, it's and I keep hearing it brought up in the zeitgeist. So I wanted to, like, once she finished, I said, let's have you on, super producer Anna Hosnier, and report back to us about Demi Moore's autobiography, titled Demi Moore.
Love having you on,
oh,
Anna.
No. Inside Out. Inside Out. Oh, sorry. I couldn't remember it because I just remembered as that Demi Moore
memoir.
A memoir.
Yeah.
Demi Moore.
A memoir by Demi.
Love it.
The Demi Moore.
No, I feel like every day you would come in and go, oh my God, guys, Demi Moore's life. And
yeah,
we're like
literally.
And it would be completely out of nowhere.
And the stories, though, that you were telling us are
well, let's
mind-blowing.
Just say, if Demi Moore did not turn out to be Demi Moore and was like, I don't know, just
any
had,
other person?
Like, just.
She's like
just
a hygienist somewhere?
Well, not even that. Like, just didn't. Basically, like, overdosed on drugs at a very young age. I'd be like, yeah, I understand. Her life was so fucking hard.
Right.
She had the toughest life of anyone. I mean, and I grew up in vast privilege. So, not like, you know, but.
Oh, you dropped your pearls.
In the sense that, like, I've always had, like, two parents who were always there. I always knew I could go home somewhere. I never felt like I didn't have anyone to turn to.
Right.
So yeah. to see her life, and see, she was raised by two, like, raging alcoholic parents who they would divorce, breakup. Dad was always getting beat up by mob members. Mom was always using her body to get ahead. Like a lot of stuff, which, you know, hey, no shame. You do what you got to do. People come from certain circumstances where that's what they end up doing.
Yeah, that's the hustle. I mean, but just to like kind of underline, like for our younger listeners, like she was so iconic, like in the 90s.
I mean, Ghost. It made me, I had never seen the majority of her movies, and I watched Ghost for the first time the other week.
Oh, really?
I was like, well, again, I was raised by Iranian parents who were not letting me watch movies, really. So like I hadn't seen anything during the height of her success.
Right.
And they didn't let you watch the one where they fuck a ghost?
Nah, they were like, no ghost fucking. That's funny because, like, great film.
It is a good movie, but he's like, they're going to fuck a ghost.
Well, I mean, let's be real. It's Whoopi Goldberg.
It's an interesting.
Well, we won't get into the.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Yeah, great film. Go watch it. But yeah, I mean, it starts from her birth where she had like kidney problems as a kid, so she was already kind of struggling to finding out her father's not her real father, but no one wanted to tell her because they were like, "What?
You never asked."
That's the vibe. Like everyone's like, her mom is just like, back off.
Right. Like, where you're don't be weird.
Yeah. That's like so you're like, okay, well, this isn't a great start. You know, then it goes into how she got into acting and a lot of her drug abuse and kind of how like Joel Schumacher made her get sober. He was going to like kick her out of a production. So she did like rehab program that a lot of Hollywood producers kind of helped her deal with. But of course, she, you know, it was a different time. And
it sounds like she would have ended up like dead from an overdose.
She says it herself. She said, if they didn't do anything, I'd be dead.
Right.
Like they identified her talent, were like, you should sort yourself out or we'll help you. Or at least she had the support for someone to intervene.
Someone stepped in and was like, I believe Joel Schumacher said, if I hear of you even drinking a beer, I will.
Right.
You will never work again. I will do what I can.
And that's someone with
the
power that could ruin your career.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, they stepped in, they put her in rehab and they said, if you, you know, follow all the steps, get sober, we will, we'll make sure you go far. Like we will help you if you make the effort to clean yourself up because you have this talent, you're, you know. I mean, it's sad to say, like, at the time, like, you have the looks, you got it going on, you're part of the, what was it, like, the Brat Pack, the Rat
Pack? Yeah, she's in the Brat Pack.
Yeah.
I can attest, she's sometimes in the yoga I go to, and
she say hello?
I didn't recognize who she was at first, and my wife didn't, and I was like, oh, that hot woman in the middle? She's just fucking gorgeous, and I didn't realize, and she's, like, in her 50s, I guess, now? Mm-hmm.
Mid-50s.
Hottest woman in there. And we're in LA.
And from Roswell, New Mexico.
Yep.
Question marks.
But she's gorgeous.
But raised all over. Her parents, the parents had a great hustle. They would use different names everywhere they went so the creditors could never find them.
Wow.
So they were constantly like, she basically learned to hustle from her parents who were constantly keeping it on the go like, someone wants their rent.
Right.
Let's move here. Like it was, and then she did end up in LA at one point and that's kind of where she got
those are all good LA skills.
I mean, a chameleon, learning how to identify other hustlers.
Yeah.
You know?
What they're up to and to avoid or team up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is like a
darkest part. The problem with coming to LA is something we've kind of been discussing in the office is that younger women tend to be treated as if they're older. And that's a lot of Demi Moore's youth was kind of like she may have been 15, but she was treated as like an older woman, and men, you know, men who were way too old to her tend to flock to her, and she's insecure.
Very vulnerable.
She doesn't know how to deal with it. She doesn't have an idea of like structure and, you know, commitment And there is a situation where her mother may or may not have basically whored her out for $500 to be raped by a restaurant owner in Los Angeles.
So here's your one chance, 15. Fancy, don't let us down.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus Christ.
It's she still to this day doesn't know if her mom actively did it, but she definitely gave that man the key to their apartment, and that man paid for their next apartment. So it's very dark, and from there it's kind of a spiral until she gets sober. She's sober for about 20 years, has her kids with Bruce Willis, they divorce, gets with Ashton, and then it's a spiral down when Ashton Kutcher says that he doesn't think alcoholism is a real thing. Again, right. He was like 25, 26 when this happened, right. And she was like in her 40s.
Which is true to somebody in their 20s. Yes. Right. Alcoholism is not a real thing. We were just talking about this.
It's just a state of mind.
It's like you go from like, yo, dude, Rob parties, man. Like yeah. That full parties. And yes. Then you get your 30s, you go, Rob is an alcoholic.
Rob stole our jet ski.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Rob exactly. Shit his pants at the bar.
Yeah. Well, because when you're
Rob
at that
can't
age.
Come to our wedding.
When you're at that age, you really have no context for it because culturally at your youth is about just fucking, doing the most and shit. And then you get to a point where you're dealing with someone who actually has substance abuse issues. You're like, dude, it's chill. Dude.
Right. Yeah, and I think
you have to recognize that too.
Yeah,
as a person, like everyone has to be like, oh, I can't. Yeah. You can't be that guy.
Yes,
you mm-hmm. can't.
Yeah, and I think in retrospect, she's aware of the situation now, but I think at the time it was tough for her to see outside of it because she was like, oh wow, like someone is showing her attention and they're connecting on such a strong level and she just wants to be like cool and young for him, which is hard because you have like a 20-year age difference that you want so badly to be this person for this person that you really like and they like you. And so I think she kind of lost herself there. But after they broke up and she kind of, I'm assuming went to a lot of therapy based on how she writes about it and got sober and figured her life out that she's truly at peace now. And that's like a great way the book ends. It's like, she's just like
throughout that chaos.
Yeah, through all that, she like finds herself. She's living in her nice house in Idaho, away from everyone, just looking up at the moon.
When she started getting fucked up again, didn't she almost like OD on something that's hard to OD on?
Like laughing gas?
No, I think what happened was she was just in like a really bad mental place. And she like wasn't eating. That's the thing. She also struggled with eating disorders her whole
life. Yeah, she's really skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing I noticed.
Well, that's because in one movie, she gained like 10 pounds. Imagine her now. She gained 10 pounds. Still so skinny. And a director was like, well, you're going to be in a bathing suit, so I really can't have you being this fat, basically. She was like, oh, cool.
Her G.I. Jane.
Woo.
Good
she would have fucked everybody on Earth up.
G.I. Jane, she did she did the training for it.
Yeah.
She went through the entire training and they didn't think she would survive. Like they were actually getting really scared that she might die in the training. And she was like, no, I have to do it or no one will believe me.
And then she was just that strong.
And then I think Bruce was kind of like, girl, you're too buff for me.
I gotta go.
That's most of that Navy SEAL training is all mental stuff. And it sounds like her whole life has been leading up to that.
Yeah.
She's like smoking a cigarette. She's like, this is fucking easy.
They're like, Master Chief.
No one's tried to fuck me.
Luckily,
this is great.
She's now Master Chief.
She came out of striptease to do that. So she'd been working out for striptease as well and then came into that. And I think that, but she did all the exercising and did the whole
training.
What are they called? The Special Forces?
Navy SEALs.
And so she went through that whole training. And then the only thing that I didn't know this, but apparently it's the thing where they say like men are stronger than women. It only applies to upper body strength because we can't get to that certain level because she said that most pull-ups she could do was 3. After all how buff she was, because I guess that's the thing. And they told her, it's like, it's not like, it just is that weird fact of just women can't get to that level of
That was before CrossFit, though. That was before CrossFit.
Which is like a, it almost made me want to be like.
Because I see people wilding out on CrossFit.
I know, it's kind of crazy. Like, I could do like one pull-up before I pass away.
Like, literally, she's died.
Welcome to the funeral of Anna Hosnier. She died tragically mid pull up.
I remember when I realized how crazy her life was, like just from going to the same yoga.
Yeah.
Was that there was like this Australian guy that our teacher really loved, and he was beautiful. He was like this, he had the weird dreadlocks that pirates have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like white people dreads.
Yeah, but not in the way that you're like, that's awful. You're like, that's cool. This dude looks cool.
Oh, because it's like it looks like you don't wash your
hair,
so they become dreads.
Yeah, most of his hair was like flowing, and then there's like a dreadlock like a pirate would have. And he was like buff. Yeah. And, like, I remember seeing him be like, I don't know who that guy is, but stay away from my wife, man. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't do anything. Just stay away. Yeah. And then they slowly, they started, you know, and then they were a thing that, like, he was always right next to her. And then, like, a couple weeks later, Aaron and I were at the grocery store, and in the gossip things, it was her and him.
Whoa.
And I was like, hey, look, it's the thing.
And you're hiding it from her, like, don't look at that guy.
No, I was just so excited. I was hey, look, and we knew what that's. So we like opened up and read it, and it was like, yeah, and they were fucking in the shower of the yoga place, and it was so loud. And Aaron and I were like, there's no shower at the yoga place.
It's that's true. She always says, she talks about how much she hates tabloids in it, and she says, there's always. Most of it's fake, but there's always one thread of truth, and that's what really fucks you up. Because right. you're like, right. how the fuck did they find out? And
yeah.
you're just like, well, the thing is, they met at a yoga place. The rest right. is kind of like exaggerated. But
then
there's that one thing that like really fucks with your head, apparently, because it's like, well, how the fuck would they ever find out that one thing to then blow it up?
Because well, my thought was like, she's told them that. Because like, you don't notice anybody that doesn't belong in mm-hmm. yoga. Yeah. It's like...
That's how good the tabloid people are.
That's what I'm saying. Or it's just like they know somebody was like, oh, yeah, Demi Moore's dating this weird pirate dude. <It's> like,
now that I think about it, I was next to a guy in the yoga class who had a bunch of GoPros on him.
No, but, that teacher would be like, get the fuck out of here. She's mean and cool.
I really recommend the book. It's very interesting. You also hear about like Bruce Willis's wild ass days, like partying with Woody Harrelson and John Goodman. Apparently they all hang, because back then, you know, no Uber Black. So they were like all hanging out of their like limos at the topping like woo, and just that imagery of like Woody Harrelson, John Goodman, and Bruce Goodman. Willis just fucked up.
Well, that's before cocaine was bad for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So they were all like just partying really hard. But I don't know. It just brings up this like kind of really funny nostalgic era of Hollywood with all these dudes who were like young and just out of their minds, but then now are like great actors. I'm really only talking about Woody Harrelson and John Goodman, but like you know, like,
Bruce Willis is an icon.
Well, let's just say
Bruce knows his. Spot.
Yeah, he knows his
and
people.
He picks the spots.
He's the kind of guy who, like, I'll die during doing this stunt because I need to prove I can do it.
Well, he's also kind of funny about his image. Yeah. I like that too about him.
Yeah, So it's weird because I didn't care about the fact that Bruce Willis and Demi Moore were married, but they were the only two actors who I would like go see a movie just because they were in it. I was like, Bruce Willis movies were my favorite genre of movies. And Demi Moore, like I went and saw G.I. Jane because she was in it.
Still so haven't seen it. I will watch
it's
it.
It's good. Oh, it's great. It's great. I think. Does it age well? Has to.
Hard to say. I don't know. Ass. Ghost aged well, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost well, it's just timeless. A timeless love story.
Yeah.
Ghost fucking.
Jack and I are both it's just timeless.
It's just a great love story.
Yeah.
The working title was Fucking a Ghost.
Joel Schumacher came in. He's like, no. Saved your career twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, big recommend. And if you don't have time to read, I recommend the Audible version because Demi reads it herself. So it's like you're there with her.
Can you speed it up?
Oh, yeah.
I take in the information so much.
Right. Gorgeous. Well, thank you, Anna. Where can people find you and follow you?
It's Demi now.
Okay.
Demi Hosnier to you, sir.
That would be awesome.
I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter, and I will just be there for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Oh, well, everything was going well until then.
Billy, where can people find you and follow you?
On Twitter, at Billy Wayne Davis on Instagram. Although I'm locked out of my Instagram, although I keep gaining followers, which is pretty fun to check in on from time to time. But you can follow me there. We're working on that. And then touring wise, this Friday and Saturday, I'm in Seattle. First show is sold out. Ooh. I know that's nice.
Yeah.
And then there are three others. There's a late show Friday and two on Saturday. And after that, I'm in Atlanta, Houston, Huntington, West Virginia, Birmingham, Alabama. All that's on BWDTour.com. Thanks for letting me get that out.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes. Desi Jed. She said, I didn't think anything could be stupider than giving a dog a medal, but then Trump photoshopped himself giving a dog a medal. It's just a wonderful way to put that.
Yeah. Shout out to that dog. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Some tweets I like. First one is from Tamara Yahia at Dances with Tamis. Past guest, Don Quixote had a long skinny dick and Sancho Panza had a short fat chode. Great. Another one is just from Dana Gould. Fats, domino, chubby, checker. Think about it.
Yeah. How about it?
I
did. What happened?
Someone's playing checkers.
Robert Schultz tweeted, I'm at that age where all my closest friends already have kids because they're my mom and dad. And you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This is from Jametta Rose, who is like a songwriter, but also makes like her own music. But this is like kind of just some out there, I guess, kind of acid jazzy thing. Very jazzy, very beat focused track. And because it's Halloween, the title is very fitting. It's called Master in Disguise by Jametta Rose.
A Halloween tweet for you guys. Since we had no Halloween content today. Alexandra Petrified tweeted, horror movie where millennials manage to buy a house, but it's haunted by the ghosts of all the things millennials have killed. What was that? Oh my God, Jessica, it's golf. If you're not listening to Worst Year Ever every week, go check out their latest episode. You will be sold. Worst Year Ever, it is our weekly podcast hosted by Robert Evans, Cody Johnston, Katie Stoll, about the 2020 election and just the 2020 state of politics.
Yeah, check out Robert's digs a little deeper on Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi. All right, that's going to do it for today. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then.
Rest in peace, John Witherspoon.
Who said we didn't have Halloween content? Spoke too soon.
That was scary.
Wish I could have my way, you would say you love me. Until another day, we're running out of time. To the future, there's a better option for me. Can't lose my focus, can't afford to break my stride. I'm sure there'll be a day when you can say you love me. You think about me and you want to spend some time. To the future, there's a better option for me. He's gonna love me and our love will be divine. Ooh, I'm so over it. Played myself so small to get next to you.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.